Good morning and welcome to worship. It is good to have this time together. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. It is a little bit different as we are now fully streaming this week, that we needed to make that decision, but I am glad that we were capable of making that switch and we are now ready for the fully streaming. And I give thanks for the reopening task force that had met ahead of time and had us prepared in case the numbers did change the way that they have. Today is Christ the King Sunday, and so we do rejoice as we come to the end of the church year. It is also Commitment Sunday. If you have not already brought your estimate of giving cards to the church, please do that. You can bring it in person, or you can send it electronically. Go to the website and you can find the way there. If you're coming in person, there are some things to be picking up. We have our Advent devotionals are available. Advent begins next week, so please do make sure to get that by next Sunday. We also have envelopes for giving for next year. We give thanks today because with the meal bags that were collected and you have returned, we give you thanks for participating in that. Bridge of Peace was able to feed 75 families because of the things that St. Matthew brought. And along with, there were 30 bags of fresh fruit and vegetables from the New Jersey Farmers Against Hunger event that was last Sunday. So we give thanks for the generosity that has been shown. Sunday school will be today at 11:15. And of course, this week is Thanksgiving week, and so we give thanks, and I wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship. We will begin with the brief order for confession and forgiveness. Returning to the waters of our baptism, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors or families or friends as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Hear the good news. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to each of you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. O God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the riches of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right and the strength to serve the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. It is now time for the children. Good morning, children. It's so good to have this time with you yet again. The Lord be with you. So, is Thanksgiving week? I've been thinking about that word, Thanksgiving. It's kind of a strange word. When I feel happy, I say I'm happy. When I feel sad, I'm sad. But when I feel thankful, we say, I give thanks. So Thanksgiving means give thanks. So the other things we kind of, I have for myself. But with thankfulness, we give it. And I've been wondering why that is. What do you think? I think maybe when we feel really thankful about something, it like bubbles up inside of us so that it kind of bursts out and we can't help but share it. And so we say Thanksgiving because it's something that when we feel it, we can't help but give it to others and let others know how thankful we are. In our psalm today, it says that when we know that God is with us, we can't help but give thanks. And that when we know what a good ruler God is, we can't help but be thankful and give thanks to God for it. So it's something that when we feel that we can't help but share. So I bet many of you this week are going to have special meals or do something for Thanksgiving Day. So this week, when you have that day, take a moment and share things, the good things God has done, and to remember God is with you and that we give thanks for that. Thank you so much.
The first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34. Because Israel's kings proved to be bad shepherds, Ezekiel declares the Lord will assume the role of shepherd in Israel. The Lord will also set over them a shepherd Messiah, my servant David, who will feed and care for the people. The prophet writes, "Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. And there they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. We are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. We are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand.
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1. In this passage, God is praised for revealing ultimate divine power in raising Jesus from the dead. The resurrected, exalted Christ is Lord of both the church and the entire universe, and now in the age to come. St. Paul writes, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for those who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne in his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at the right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Here we are again, back to streaming-only worship. Here we are again, facing rising infection rates, rising case numbers, rising death tolls. Here we are again, facing increased restrictions, prolonged separation, closures of businesses and institutions, deep uncertainty about what is to come. Here we are again. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the day of the church year where we focus on the kingship of Christ. It is the day that where we recognize that Christ is the Lord of the cosmos, of all the universe. We affirm that above all concerns and allegiances in this world, we belong to Christ. That Christ is above every nation, ideology, and commitment that we can make. As Ephesians 1:21 puts it, Christ is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. But if we say that Christ is the King of all and rules over all, and then we look around our world, it would seem that Christ's governance is sorely lacking. I just pointed to all the problems related just to the pandemic, and then consider all the deeper problems that lie behind that, all the other things going on in the world. Where is Christ in all of this? If Christ is king, why does he allow all of this to continue? Why doesn't he step in and make things right? If God is present with us, how can so much be going so wrong? How can there be so much suffering and struggle around us? Our gospel reading today is one of the fairly infrequent times that Jesus seems to talk about himself as being enthroned. It's also the last parable in Matthew before Jesus undergoes his own suffering and death. And so the specter of Jesus' absence hangs over his words. In the parable, he speaks of himself as coming again in glory and uses the image of a king. He divides the people to his right and to his left, as dividing sheep and goats. He affirms those on the right and condemns those on the left. Those on the right feed him when he is hungry, clothed him when he was naked, welcomed him when he was him as a stranger, visited him in prison, and cared for him when he was sick. Those on the left did none of those things. This is most likely a familiar parable. But what strikes me is that prior to this vision of Christ's coming glory, none of the people ever saw Christ, not the people on the right or the people on the left. Outside of eternity, nobody recognized Christ's presence. Neither the people on the left nor the people on the right were able to see Christ in this world. Both groups immediately ask him the same question. When did we see you? Neither group had recognized it. And the response is, when you did these things to those in this world who needed them or didn't do them, you encountered me. Both groups then lived in the same situation, a world where Christ is king, but seemingly absent. They lived in a world full of suffering people in need of help. And God does not appear to be anywhere around, does not appear to be ruling in any sensible fashion, does not appear to be doing anything to help the situation. And yet Christ tells them, the king tells them, that Christ is hidden all around them. Christ is hidden in the midst of the people's struggles. The world is a place of deep needs, and Christ is in the midst of it all, right there with those who struggle. All of the people gathered, those on the right, those on the left, recognize that Christ is king, and all of them struggle to see where God is at in the world and what God is doing. The difference is that those on the right, for them, Christ's kingship is not just something out there, something that fixes problems. Christ's reign is also something that occurs in their hearts. Christ reigns not just in eternity, but more importantly, in their lives, in their every moment. Christ's reign becomes part of who they are, of how they respond to the world. Christ's reign is something that leads them and guides their actions. They follow Christ in caring for the needs of the world, caring for those who are sick and suffer and struggle. It has become such a part of who they are that they don't even notice that Christ is present in them, leading their actions. Christ is not only the king of everything, but more personally is their king, more personally rules in their hearts. Christ becomes so present to them that they don't even notice it. This passage is often used as a command. You must feed the hungry. We must clothe the naked. We must visit those in prison. We must care for the sick. And it's true that those things are not only good, but they are the fruits of Christian life, that kind of caring. But I think something more fundamental is going on here too. The world can feel out of control, like God has abandoned us, let evil and bad things run amok around us. And yet, Christ promises to be present, to already be present, hidden in the midst of those difficult times and struggles. More than that, Christ's reign is about upending our normal ways of doing things and expecting things, changing around our expectations. For instance, Christ is not first of all to be found by looking to the supernatural, but start by looking to the concrete struggles of life. Also, Christ's presence is strongest when we don't recognize it, when we can't see it. When we can't see Christ with us, that's when he is reigning in our hearts. Christ's reign is a call in our lives to serve others, to reach out to those in need rather than seeking to gain something for ourselves. The fruit of Christ's presence in us is found in engaging the problems of the world around us, not because we seek to find God there, but because Christ's presence makes us the kind of people who seek to serve and find solutions to the struggles of others. So how does Christ reign in your heart? Where is Christ leading you to care for others? Of course, we're never sure that we will encounter God. We may feel like we have never actually seen Christ or be led by Christ at all, just like the people in the parable. But the sign of Christ's presence is in the care for the needs of others. As we are here again, back into the uncertain times, the increased restrictions, does this open up new ways for Christ to reign in your heart? Does it bring new opportunities to care for the needs of others? Perhaps there are new ways to support and protect the most vulnerable populations. Perhaps our usual holiday donations of food, like the 75 bags that Renee delivered from St. Matthew to the Bridge of Peace yesterday, perhaps these kinds of acts of service take on even more importance as it reaches into some of the highest risk areas. And perhaps our staying home is a way to safeguard the health of others. We may also be called to be more intentional in reaching out to people who are isolated and lonely in these times. Perhaps this winter, phone calls to one another are all the more important. Here we are again, faced with the same struggles as months ago. Here we are again, waiting for Christ. Here we are again, hoping that soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Right now, though, how does Christ reign in your life? How might others see God present in you, even as it can be a struggle for us to see God, even as it is a struggle for us to see one another? Christ is the King of all creation, the name above all names. May he reign in our hearts as well. Amen.
soon and very soon.
Amen.
Let us pray. Longing for Christ's reign to come among us, we pray for the outpouring of God's power on the church, the world, and all in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by isolation. For our first responders, military members and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians seeking a cure, all essential workers, those working tirelessly, serving their neighbors and keeping us safe. We particularly pray today for Vincent Milito, Jackie Brennan, and all who have suffered from COVID-19, have tested positive, or are awaiting test results. And for all those we name now silently in our hearts or aloud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, your mercy is great. Sovereign of all, train our ears to hear your cry in the needs of those around us. Bless all social ministries of the church through which we seek to serve others as we ourselves have been served. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You cause rain to fall on just and unjust alike. Direct our use of creation to provide for the needs of all people in ways that are sustainable for the earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bring peace to every place where conflict rages. Grant opportunities for ending divisions among us and usher in your reign of unity and reconciliation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Heal the sinful divisions we erect between us and release us from the systems of oppression and prejudice. Restore our capacity to see your image in those whose dignity we have stripped away. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Pour out the gifts of your Spirit on children and youth throughout the church. Sustain those who work in children's ministry, youth ministry, and campus ministry as they nurture the gifts of young people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Thank you for saints now departed who fed the hungry, clothed the naked, and tended to the sick. Inspire us by their example that they may see your presence in those in need around us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Receive our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Until that day when you gather all creation around your throne, where you will reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that peace. Peace. Send text or other electronic means. Peace be with you.
Peace, David.
Today is Commitment Sunday, and so let us take a moment to pray for our commitments for the following year, for our estimates of giving, for our offerings to the church, and the ways that we do indeed commit our lives to Christ. Let us pray. O Holy God, you give us so many gifts. In return, move your Spirit in our hearts that we may commit ourselves anew to you, to give of ourselves, our time, our talents, our treasures, in our planning and commitment for the following year. Fill this congregation with your Spirit that it may be a beacon of hope in a world in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let us pray using the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. Live your lives rooted in Christ, built up in him and abounding in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
And now, go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.